Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. I don't often begin New Day Dawning with a folk song, but here's one today written by Alan Bell, and it introduces the theme of our Bible reading today with its chorus. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey with all of mankind. It's called Bread and Fishes.
As I was walking one morning in spring, I met with some travellers in an old country lane. One was an old man, the second a maid, and the third was a young boy who smiled as he said, with the wind in the willows and the birds in the sky, as a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey with all of mankind. So I sat down beside them with the gay flowers round, and we ate from a mantle spread out on the ground. They told me of peoples and prophets and kings, and all of the one God who knew everything. With the wind in the willows and the birds in the sky, as a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey. Tell me the names and their race, that I may remember their kindness and grace. My name it is Joseph, this is Mary my wife, and this is our young son who is our dear life. With the wind in the willows and the birds in the sky, as a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey with all of mankind. We are travelling to Glaston through England's green lanes, to hear of men's troubles, to hear of men's pains. We travel the wide world, o'er the lands and the sea, to tell all the people how they can be free. With the wind in the willows and the birds in the sky, as a bright sun to warm us wherever we lie. We have bread and fishes and a jug of red wine to share on our journey.
Our reading for today is taken from Matthew 14, beginning to read at verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away, so they may go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Besides the resurrection, this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. In Matthew, we're told this number, 5,000, was actually just the number of men there, not women and children, so the head count there would have been far higher than that. Before we look at this story, here's a great hymn. It's a prayer for God's provision and protection on life's journey. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. They say that the best version of this hymn was sung a cappella in the film How Green Was My Valley. It occurs at the point where all the miners, all filthy from their labour, return home with their week's wages, and how one mother receives their offerings into her clean apron as they enter the gate to their home. All their offerings are given with grace, and they are well received, much like our Bible reading today, where one small offering benefits so many people. Here is Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. That was Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, sung there by a Welsh choir. I'm sorry I couldn't trace their name for you. But in our reading today, all the people from the surrounding areas followed Jesus and travelled all the way round the lake just to be where he was. Jesus had just heard about the cruel beheading of John the Baptist and needed time to rest, reflect and grieve. But along came the crowds to sit at his feet and listen. After all, they had seen him healing the sick, and I suppose they wanted more of the same, as well as to listen to his words of wisdom. Jesus had that rare gift of patience and compassion that we often lack. For time and time again, when his peace was disturbed, he lovingly received all who came to him. I'm sure many of us, when we try to carve out just a little precious time for ourselves as part of a busy and tiring day, we feel far from patient and compassionate when someone else needs our attention. In our next song, a person is on a non-stop merry-go-round, caring for someone and they're tired. But because of their love and the sufferer being absolutely worth that love, the carer rises up and responds. I hope the song encourages you if you have responsibilities of care for someone. Here's a song called Rise Up, sung by Andra Day.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. and you can't find a fighter. But I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day.
It soon became obvious to the disciples that in such a remote place, and with evening drawing in, the people would have to be sent away if they were to find food and lodging somewhere near. In John's Gospel, we're told that Jesus recognized this first. He turned first to Philip, asking where bread could be bought. Philip told him they didn't have enough money to buy food for everyone, and that's when Andrew spoke up with these words. There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that among so many? But in Matthew's version today, he misses out this detail of who says what to whom, but he does tell us what Jesus then said to his disciples. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. We can all imagine the looks on the faces of the disciples when he said that to them. The young lad's gift, which had been given to Andrew, was the poorest food of all. Barley was really animal food. The fish were like tiny sardines caught in the lake. Andrew's response was really saying, "This paltry meal isn't sufficient to feed everyone." But what Jesus did with this offering would astound them. The disciples could only see what was impossible. But Jesus soon showed them all things were possible, and he called for the food to be brought to him. When it comes to putting our faith under the microscope, how trusting, how believing are we? What are our real expectations when we are faced with impossible situations? We're not all that different from those disciples, are we? Whatever obstacles stand in our way today, however impossible a task may seem, let's just give the situation into God's hands anyway. He is giving it all to you from my album of the same name.
All my endless imaginings, the worries that are mine, my doubts where you're leading me, the pruning of the branches on the vine. I'm giving it all to you.
people today argue over whether Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 was indeed a miracle. Was it not a case, they argue, that all the people gave what they had secretly brought too, with the result that everyone was provided for? I suppose that seems possible. It's still miraculous that all the people ended up satisfied, but would the same people argue that in Cana in Galilee, where Jesus turned water into wine, the guests suddenly produced wine bottles that they'd been keeping them to themselves too? The more traditional believer might interpret this miracle in terms of being fed spiritually, as in the Eucharist, where a small portion of the sacrament fills believers with the life of Jesus Christ in the receiving of his body and blood. I personally have no problem believing in miracles, but however people interpret this story, something very wonderful happened on that hillside by the Sea of Galilee. Let's listen to a song by Margaret Scott called "I Am the Bread to Feed the World," sung here with United Folk. Once there was a little boy who knocked at the door of an elderly gentleman, and he offered him some picture postcards for sale at 10 pence each. "What are you going to do with the money?" the man asked him. "I'm raising £1 million to send off to earthquake relief," he answered quite seriously. The boy was so little, and the sum he named was so large, that the gentleman began to laugh. £1 million, he cried, "and do you expect to raise all that sum by yourself?" "No, sir," he said gravely. "My best friend is helping me." Two small boys with high hopes. What could they possibly achieve? Well, an awful lot can be achieved from small beginnings. Let's see how Jesus tackled the impossible. First, he saw potential in the smallest offering. He believed he had at least something to work with. He knew his Father's heart and his desire to provide for his children. He believed in God's provision in the past and trusted his promises for the present and for the future. Then he acted on God's promises. That's when the miracle happened. Here's Stuart Townend again singing "Every Promise."
From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to save that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. When I stumble and I sin, condemnation stand on every promise of your word. So I stand on every promise of your word. Guilt to innocence restored, you remember sins no more. So I stand on every promise of your word.
There's another beautiful story I read somewhere of a monk who, being full of humility, was given one wish. He wished that he could be used to bring as many people to faith in God as possible. But being humble, there was a condition attached to his request. He asked God to fulfill this promise in such a way that he would never know the success of his actions. And so God granted his wish, and wherever the monk went on his way in the world, people were healed by the shadow he left behind as he passed by. Isn't that a lovely story? He was a man so full of faith and humility, it didn't matter what people thought of him. He was out to win souls for God, and he ended his life never knowing that his small gift had reached mammoth proportions and blessed so very many people. Let's not give up offering whatever small gift we have to God, especially when the outlook is bleak or high mountains or walls stand in our way. And let us resist that urge to be appreciated for all we do and valued. Let us pray. Lord God, I know how insignificant I am in the grand order of creation, and what I offer to you is paltry. But you see in this one small speck of humanity, me, great potential. Help me to make a difference for you in your world. Take me and use me to your glory, and whatever gifts you've given me, help me to offer them to benefit your world. Amen. I've chosen this next special song to end today's programme. It reflects what we've just been praying about. Listen carefully to the words, and I hope it blesses you just as much as it blessed me. It's called Five Loaves and Two Fishes by Corinne Rivers. Have a lovely day, all of you, and bye for now.
Little boy of 13 was on his way to school. He heard a crowd of people laughing and he went to take a look. Thousands were listening to the stories of one man. He spoke with such wisdom, even the kids could understand. The hours passed so quickly, the day turned into night. Everyone was hungry, but there was no food in sight. The boy looked in his lunchbox at the little that he had. He wasn't sure what good it'd do. There were thousands to be fed, but he saw the twinkling eyes of Jesus, the kindness in his smile, and the boy cried out with the trust of a child. He said, take my five loaves and two. wishes